Today on Real Life Radio.
Prayer is not the Christmas wish list that Santa receives every year. That's not it. Prayer is literally the transformation of the believer's will to coalesce or to bind with God's will, to bring my will under the will of God.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Why Series with a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 8. Allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, that includes prayer. The desire to pray is knowing that God loves us and is always there for us. It's prayer that develops within us the loving character of Jesus Christ and our own capacity to love and care for others. There is no closer relationship for the believer than to be in prayer with God. Praying in the Spirit may take focus and determination, but it's through prayer that we're allowing a powerful communication to open up between us and the Father. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that in times of stress, our first reaction is to worry. But when we pray, the Holy Spirit begins to calm us down, no matter what comes against us, whether it's mental, emotional, physical. The power of prayer through the Holy Spirit can really change things. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 8, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We have, a pretty precious area we're going tonight with the Why series regarding the Holy Spirit in our lives. So Father, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name that tonight, and I know that tonight with what we're going to be talking about, it's going to challenge probably most people in the area of which they've never heard these verses before in the Bible, or if they have, they didn't realize what it was saying. And Lord, help all of us tonight to not be predisposed to interpret the Bible through the lens of our denominations. We have a tendency to view the scripture from those who have instructed us or have been over us. And so, Lord, we pray tonight that your word would speak to us face to face and that we would come out of this evening a very encouraged people. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen to that. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do, church. If you'd grab your Bibles tonight, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, turn there. And we don't have many scriptures tonight, maybe 8 or 10 of them, or passages, I should say, but they're important. And this is where we're going to begin. And so chapter 11, verse 1, Luke 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass when he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place that when he had ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day, our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted or has sinned against us. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so mark that down for where we're going tonight. We are talking about prayer, specifically praying in the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about praying in the Holy Spirit, but what does that mean? Before we do that, I want you to jot some key things down in your note-taking. Wherever you are tonight or today, wherever you're watching, you ought to have some notes, especially tonight, because it's my burden, it's my passion tonight. With all that's going on in the world, it breaks my heart to see what's happening. As we enter this second wave of this pandemic, which is not a sickness, the second wave is spiritual, emotional. Depression, panic, hopelessness. What do we do? What's the answer? Is there an answer? Oh, yes. It's prayer. You say, Jack, prayers, I don't know about prayer. You're going to know about prayer tonight. Number one, jot this down if you would. Seven things I want to give you up front, and then we'll unpack this praying in the Holy Spirit. Number one, you must realize, if you haven't, is that prayer is hard work. I don't know why it is exactly, but it's hard work. Prayer is hard, difficult work. If you've ever prayed and you've been awakened to the idea that, man, my mind is wandering. Man, I don't know how to stay focused. I know I should pray, but I don't know what to pray for. All of a sudden, you're at a loss for words. Prayer is hard work. Jot it down. Number two, prayer is a position of the redeemed heart. Listen, prayer is a position. I'm not talking about standing. I'm not talking about kneeling physically. I'm talking about the heart of the believer. Prayer is a position. It is an attitude of the believer. When we pray, we are connecting, and we understand that, with the God of all creation. We are connecting with the Lord, our Redeemer. When we pray, as Charles Spurgeon said in another century or two, he talked about prayer being the intercourse between the believer and God. There's no closer relationship for the believer on earth now than to be in prayer with God. So, you know, why does it, is it such a struggle for us? Why is that the problem when it should be such a natural thing? We'll see this tonight. Thirdly, is that prayer is the conduit that links us to the Lord. You heard Jesus a moment ago tell the disciples, when you pray, this is how you pray. It's a conduit to connect us. Prayer is not wishful thinking. Prayer is not something that is haphazard. It's a position of the heart. It's hard work. And it is a conduit that links us to the Almighty God. Four, prayer is the believer's war chest in time of need. I like that one. By the way, that's where I'm at right now in my life, is prayer is the believer's war chest in time of need. I'm in great time of need myself personally. Now, don't take this the wrong way. You guys are so sweet. You write me letters and ask, oh, well, how can I help you with your need? No. You just pray for me, because here's my need. Oh, God, give me courage. My need is, oh, God, give me wisdom. I've been asking God for the wisdom of Solomon. He put it in the Bible, and I've been grabbing that. I need the wisdom of God. And with all that's going on, my goodness, I just shared with one of our board members a moment ago that tomorrow and Friday, just the next couple of days, there's just a suitcase, as it were, of interview commitments and TV news and things that are going on and all this stuff. And I need wisdom. I'm in great need. So God, give me wisdom. But prayer is that war chest. When nothing else seems to be effective, we go to prayer. And I love to think of it as, when we go to pray, we might be on our knees. You know, there's an old song, there's an old hymn that says to the effect, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And I love that. And when you pray, you are connecting with the God of all power. And it's that time of prayer with him, when you express your need, that he brings and strengthens you against the spiritual battles that you are in. Number five, prayer results in the transformation of our will. Prayer results in the transformation of our will. When we pray, listen up, when we pray, we are not praying to get God to do what we want. Did you know that? Prayer is not the Christmas wish list that Santa receives every year. That's not it. Prayer is literally the transformation of the believer's will to coalesce, or to bind with God's will, to bring my will under the will of God. You say, I thought prayer was to change God's mind. Nope, never. Never. God, when we pray, he allows, in his infinite wisdom and his omniscience and his omnipotence, that when we pray, he brings us in prayer, he adjusts our attitude. He begins to speak to our mind. He begins to lovingly, but with all the grip of God on your process, he begins to mold and shape my will. He transforms our will through prayer. 6, true biblical prayer is not an automatic response. True biblical prayer is not, this is a negative now to our little list here, it's not an automatic response. Prayer is something which goes to the first point that it's hard to do. We are prone to worry first. Our human nature, I don't care who you are, I don't care how saintly you are and how born again you are and how long you've been walking with Jesus. The human side of us is to first worry or to be anxious, and the Bible anticipates that. When we're anxious, we are to pray without ceasing. Prayer, again, changes that atmosphere in our lives. We need to remember that. But true biblical prayer is not an automatic response. We need to learn how to pray. You already know that because I just read you the verse when the disciples said, teach us how to pray. Means we don't know how to pray. We need to be molded and shaped and brought into that place of prayer. And then 7, finally, before we get into our time together in the Word, is the fact that prayer must be taught. Prayer must be taught. And again, this is not a surprise to you. Those of you who have kids, are you not teaching your kids how to pray? Of course you are. Do they not watch you when you pray? Absolutely. Do you not even make sure they see you when you pray? Hey, I have a good friend in Washington, D.C., a lover of God and man of God. And we were talking earlier this year, and we're praying for each other. We share each other's needs and concerns and struggles. And he said, you know, help me to maintain that when I am home, which is not often, I can say this, but I want to stay true to this now more than ever. He said, my children have never gotten up before me in life. And my children have never stayed up later than me in life. They have always seen me praying in the mornings at my little devotional location at the house. And they've always heard me fall asleep praying for them. And he said, it's been like that for decades regarding our children. And what a beautiful, awesome testimony of teaching prayer. Because listen, kids will naturally see that. Teenagers will see that. I know you don't think teenagers see that, but teenagers have somehow the capability of catching some things that we're doing that's good, and God touches their hearts and they receive it. But better than preaching to your kids and laying it on them, sometimes it's just in the morning hours or at night, letting them be tucked into bed with prayer or seeing you in the morning praying. Because that's how, listen, prayer is caught, really, as it's taught. We teach it by example, not by study, but the kids catch it and they'll start doing it. And you know this. So here we go tonight. Luke chapter 11, your Bible is already there. Mark this as we look, as it's a foundational to where we're going. It says there in verse 1 that when it came to pass, he was praying. So Jesus prays. God in human skin, he prays. You see, why would God pray? If God the Son is God, why is he praying? I just said, he's God in human skin. Jesus is in his humanity. It's a template for you and I that Jesus prayed. You and I have to pray. We need to strengthen our prayer life, and we need to look at Jesus and look at how he prayed and listen to what he says about teaching us to pray. And so the Bible tells us that he was in a certain place. I like that. I hope you have a certain place. If you don't, friends, family, listen, everybody, if you don't have a certain place, get one. Set it up. I'm dead serious. If it's up a tree, I don't care. If it's in the bathroom, if it's a chair somewhere, find a place. Mark it out. Put your books nearby, devotionals there, get a little reading lamp, you know, and make it your place. Or designated area. You say, well, I live in a one-room house. Then maybe it's the little four-foot balcony outside, or maybe it's a certain little spot, or look, I got to confess, don't tell anybody. But when Lisa and I lived in an apartment for years, my place was literally the bathtub, not with water in it. the bathtub. I would put pillows and blankets, and I would sit there and read, and I'd get on my knees, and I would pray. And then I'd, I would fall asleep sometimes praying. I got so mad at myself that I wound up taking out the blankets and the pillows, and I would kneel in the bathtub and pray to God to keep myself awake. I had to kind of beat my body into subjection. So I don't know if that's some sort of psychosis or what, but maybe I'm being too transparent with you. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus had a certain place, and you and I ought to designate a certain place. And then it says one of his disciples came to him and said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." You see, they caught it by watching. And so he teaches them. And Jesus says to them, when you pray, not if, when you pray. Now this is going to come a shock to a lot of people. Number one, say, "Our Father who's in heaven." And he gives this list now that we're all familiar with. And I'm going to fast forward and then get into where we want to go tonight. Did you know Jesus never said, when you pray, when it's time to pray, this is what you do. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that is in heaven, give this for the other." In Jesus' name, amen. Nope. You say, "Wait, Jack, stop, wait. You're talking about the Lord's Prayer." No, actually, it's not the Lord's Prayer. That is wrong theology. Luke 11 is not the Lord's Prayer. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Luke 11 is him teaching us how to pray. And the actual structure he gives, watch me now, the actual structure he gives is a frame. It's a frame. You know how you've been brought up in life reciting that prayer as though you had prayed? You say, "Jack, you're freaking me out." I know. Jesus never said, when you pray, repeat this. The word means when you pray, do it with this structure. Number one, recognize you are addressing your Father, which is in heaven. That's what he means. He didn't say, every time you pray, repeat this. He didn't say repeat. In fact, the Bible says, don't repeat. So this is very important. His first admonition and instruction is direct your prayer to the Father. That's where you begin, okay? And when you do that, adore him. Hallowed be thy name. God, you're amazing. Lord, I saw the sunrise this morning. You're amazing. Or I saw the moon set last night and we saw Jupiter come out. Amazing. We even saw a couple of shooting stars go by. Amazing, God, you're amazing. My granddaughter yesterday was doing a science test. Equal pans of pie tins of water, same exact volume of water. One pie tin was placed in the sun, intermittent sun. We had a cloudy sun. You know how those days are, spring day. And then the other pie tin was placed under the umbrella, no sunlight at all. And did you know, in a matter of hours, the science program was over, the homeschooling, like everybody's doing right now, was over. And they brought in the pie tins and then they measured. And did you know what? In just a few hours, 50% of the volume of water that was in one pie tin was gone. And of course, she's learning about not only the hydrology, the science of water, but she's also learning that in correlation with the scripture, because the Bible talks about the hydrological cycle. And you say, "Why is that? What does that have to do with prayer?" Oh, that's hallowed be thy name. God, how did you do that? The science of God should bring you to reverencing him. He goes on, "Your kingdom come." Are you excited about his kingdom coming? I hope you are. "Your will be done." Yes, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I'm not going to get sidetracked. I'm just going to ask you, how in the world do you think that gets done? Now, look, it's not going to be done completely until Christ returns. But until then, you and I are to be praying that God's kingdom comes. And let me say this, God's kingdom does not come out of Washington, D.C. It doesn't come out of Sacramento. God's kingdom comes when Christ returns. You need to be reminded of that. I know there's a lot of people right now, and they're waving American flags, and they want the kingdom to come. Look, you can wave an American flag, but you're not bringing in the kingdom. "Well, I thought we're going to do all this stuff and bring Jesus back." No, that's not how you do it. You want to bring Jesus back?
Go evangelize the world for Christ. Tell everybody about Jesus. Give them the gospel. Look, I love America more than most, but the fact of the matter is, this ain't heaven. And the Messiah's not coming on Air Force One. But we get involved. But we're not bringing about the kingdom. That only happens when Christ returns. So I like to think that when I pray your kingdom come, I'm actually saying, Lord Jesus, come back. And then he says, give us this day our daily bread. And you structure this. This is not a repeat prayer. It's a structure for prayer. You hang your expression of prayer on these facets of the structure. So here we go. We're now diving into this area of what I would call a deeper prayer life. A deeper prayer life. And so please write this down. This is how you apply the Word of God in prayer. When we pray, our human nature immediately goes into a lock. We just freeze. The human nature stops. Why? When you go to pray as a believer, and if you're in the mind of the flesh, of the common operation of us as a human, you'll come to that moment and you won't even know what to pray about. You don't even know what to do. God, thank you for my taco. Thank you, God, for sunshine. Listen, you know that prayer? We all know that prayer. We're talking about deep prayer here. The prayer that God wants to hear from you and I as believers. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Now, I got to tell you right up front. I actually lifted this verse from my wife's memory today because she's been studying this in the women's ministry. They're discussing these things. And she shared it with me this morning and it blew my mind. And I thought, I can use that today. So Ephesians 3, 14, listen to this. Everybody turn there in your Bibles. Look at this. This is how you pray. For this reason, Paul said, I bow my knees. So let's do it together. So for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Heavenly Father, I come before you and I bow my knees. I bow my heart. Lord, I'm coming to you right now and I'm bowing my will to you, Heavenly Father. And I'm asking you now, in the name of Jesus Christ, verse 15, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Oh my goodness, Lord, thank you for your sovereign, absolute authority. I need that now. With all of the talking heads and all the experts telling me what to do and what not to do, and none of them are green and none of it's working. Lord, I need to hear from you. If I turn on that station, or if I listen to that radio, or if I listen to that thing, I'm gonna panic. Help me to hear from you, Almighty God.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 8. Thanks for joining us today. You know, The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 8, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life as we look to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, you got to admit, sometimes it's hard to believe really how God can be so patient with us, how he can still love us even when we fail to pray or even talk to him. But God sees through our doubts and our disbelief. He knows us, and it's his desire that we know him. So if you're struggling to believe that God cares about you or what it means to know God personally, we have a resource at our website. It's called Know God. That's spelled out K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, we're sure your questions will be answered and that you'll know without a doubt that God wants you to have a personal relationship with him. Again, the tab is called Know God. It's right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.